So what were you saying? This is the story of...
This is the story of the changing times I went through in my life.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
My parents were very young immigrants, settled in Boston.
Could you just tell for the people exactly where they were from?
They were from Terracini, Sicily.
Uh-huh.
And they settled in the north end in Boston.
Right.
That's where most people that came from Sicily settled, in the north end.
Most people in Boston, were they Sicilians?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No.
Straighten me out on that.
No, they were not Sicilians. Like here in Gloucester, there's plenty of people up in Lanesville who are not Sicilians.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yep. These are the people that came years and years ago, that came from the northern part of Italy.
The northern part of Italy, they came first?
They came first. They were here before the fishermen hit Gloucester.
Uh-huh.
There were stone cutters and people like that.
Oh yeah, the non-fishermen.
The
Italians worked with the Finns.
That's right, yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember hearing about that.
All right, so...
Could I ask you this, at the risk of sounding provocative? Was there any rivalry between the northern part of Italy and Sicily?
Not that I remember. My father used to tell us of stories of wars between the northern part and Sicily. Also of wars of strange people going to Sicily, like Japanese people.
Really?
Fought in Sicily.
Uh-huh.
Like colored people fought in Sicily, like Africans. They fought in Sicily.
Moors?
That was years and years ago.
Was that the Moors?
The Moors,
yeah.
Right. And my father, because I don't believe he was present at those wars, but I believe he was told these stories by his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to tell them to us once in a while, when we had nothing to do in those cold, bitter winter nights. Sit around the kitchen stove. He tell us about these Pellegrini, used to call them. So my parents came from Sicily separately. They didn't know each other at the time, or they may have, but my mother was quite young and she married at the North Church. She and my father were married at the Sacred Heart Church in the North End.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that mostly an Italian church?
Mostly an Italian church.
What was its name in Italian?
I don't
you
know
don't
really, but
okay.
I heard of a scandal where the head priest ran away with the head nurse, with the head sister, took all the money and they took off. It happened. That was so long ago that they didn't know who they were. Nobody knows who they were, but it's a true story.
Okay.
And, of course, I was the fourth child born. I was the fourth one who started to survive in my family. Three others before me died. I was the fourth one, and when I was quite young, there was a little tragedy in my father's life that made him move to California. So I was the only one at the time in the family, and we moved to California. My father settled in a little village outside San Jose. It was all village around there at the time. It was beautiful. And all village, little towns. All little towns.
It's a sprawling, big suburb now, you know?
I know.
A suburb, but...
I know.
Sprawling area of...
And my father did various kinds of work. Survive. He picked fruit from trees. Him and my mother worked in a cannery. They allowed me to play around in the cannery. I still have an old ring that I found in the cannery, and there were mostly Japanese people working in that cannery. So that's where most of the fruit was canned in San Jose. Then came the earthquakes. I was petrified.
How old were you?
Oh, about 4 years old. I can still remember them.
4 years old?
Yeah.
May I ask when you were born?
1907.
Okay. Sure. And so this was about 1911?
About that time, yes.
Was this San Jose?
San Jose.
Okay.
And we owned a horse and we owned a wagon. A surrey, they called it, with the fringe in the top, right? And my father would take us from one town to another town to visit his brother. On the way, he would stop and pick great big mushrooms from trees. I don't know why, he never got killed with them. He ate them.
Mushrooms?
Mushrooms, great big ones growing on trees.
Trees?
Yeah,
really?
Big mushrooms growing on trees. And after a while, my mother got a little bit homesick for her people and back in Boston, because she had sisters and mother and father back in Boston. And my mother got homesick and she wanted to come back to Boston. So my father says, okay. By that time, there was three of us in the family. There's a brother and another sister, and a sister. And another one on the way, my mother had. And my father says, okay, you go back home to, I'll send you back home to Boston, and I'll go north to Alaska to fish for 6 months. Now, my father had been a smart man with an education. He would have been one of the biggest winemakers on the West Coast. He used to ship wine to my mother's people in Boston by the barrels. Mm-hmm. It was legal then.
Was it?
Was legal, very legal. He used to ship it. Now, if he had had an education, wouldn't he have followed through on that and had his own business of shipping wine?
My friend's in the same boat. He's interested in going to the wine business.
Uh-huh.
But, well, really it's a problem. He doesn't have the capital to...
Yeah. It's always the capital. So that's what he should have done. And I think back now, if he had a little initiative, a little education, money to back him up, he should have been in the wine business. He should have been a big wine man today.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he went to Alaska, and we took off for Boston. We were 5 days on that train. I shall never forget that ride
as long as I live.
My mother was so scared to get off the train, to get a bite to eat. All we ate was crackers and cookies. Maybe milk. I don't remember that part of it. So back to Boston we went. A few months later, my father got back. And he went back to the fishing business in Boston. And that was really brutal. They would have to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go set their little tubs of trawls, and they'd carry them on their shoulders to the streets of Boston and onto the wharf and work with little dories for flounders off the Boston wharves, Boston Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
That was a brutal thing. Then somebody discovered Gloucester.
Yeah, tell me, who was this person?
Well, Benny Kukuru, that died, claims he was the first one. But then there was a man by the name of Scola. And I remember he was one of the
Scola?
First. Scola? Scola. I remember he was one of the first ones here. There were others before us. They discovered Gloucester, and they start coming here with these 24 horsepower boats, 24 horsepower engines, and these 42 footers, 36 footers. The first boat my father bought was named after his horse that he had that we left in San Jose.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember.
Shablatz.
Shablatz.
Somebody will either hear that laugh. Shablatz. That was... Then we spent a few years in Boston. And I loved Boston at the time.
Yeah, you were telling me about Paul Revere's house.
Yeah, we lived near Paul Revere's house, near the North Church. We lived in the North End. It was a very sociable place. There's no vandalism, robberies, or murders, unless it was in a private house or something, you know what I mean? People that fight among themselves.
There was no trouble like that at all, huh?
No, never. Every Sunday we were allowed to take a walk to the common, which we loved.
I gotta ask you this. How were you accepted by, say, the people in authority? How were the immigrants, particularly your people, how were they accepted by, say, the police or things like that? Because apparently the pictures I've seen have been pictures of you being treated poorly.
I know they were treated rough, but they had to accept them because we were here legally. Uh-huh. We were not here illegally, and we were white, because the Italian people were called all kinds of names at first. They really? Still do. Yeah. They still do. For some reason or other, they still do.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's almost friendly kind of thing now.
Yeah, but they should know that if it wasn't for the Italian people, there wouldn't be any Gloucester. The Italian people really built this city.
Sure.
After they got started. All these houses were owned by, say, Irish people and French people from Nova Scotia, mostly. And they were all run down. All the houses down the fort, not one had electric lights or toilets.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me
we came to Gloucester. When we finally came to Gloucester, we hit these places and they had no toilets and they had outhouses. And I'd just soon go behind the outhouse than go in it. It stunk so bad to me.
Did it, huh?
Remember?
Well, you were used to the ones in Boston.
Yes, in Boston. We were primitive in Boston, too. It was like living in the jungles. Actually, we had a courtyard that resembled a prison yard for a play yard.
Was this in the West End?
North End of Boston. And we'd go up to the square. There'd be a big truck loaded with ice. And all the neighbors would go up to the square and buy their ice in the square. It was right across from Paul Revere's house. Across from the other side was the Sacred Heart Church. And of course, it used to be real hot there in the summertime, so you couldn't light a coal stove to bake bread. So my mother would make the bread, and then she'd send us up to the bakery to have it baked. And I can still remember they would take a stick and stick it and put a piece of cardboard with a number on each loaf of bread to identify them. We'd have 3-4 loaves of bread. We children would go up, bring it up, and go and get it back. And the people were hanging around the square there. The men would be hanging around the square, and there was starvation in those days. And you could almost see those people drooling over the smell of that bread.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would ask you for a piece of bread, but we were kids.
This during not the Depression.
Well, it was a Depression, too. It was hard times to get by.
When was this about?
Well, say, around 1907... About 9 years later,
yeah.
1916, 1915, 16,
mm-hmm.
I was real young, but I had to do my chores.
Mm-hmm.
And as for liquor, there was no prohibition. It was allowed. I was a young kid, and I was allowed to go to the bar room and buy a big pitcher of beer for a quarter for my father.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, big pitcher of beer for a quarter.
Quarter.
And they'd give it you. They'd from the tap and... Or a big pitcher of beer.
You just walk home with it?
Just walk home with a pitcher of beer. Not even in bottles or anything covered. Just walk home with it.
Do you remember Prohibition at all?
Oh, yes. That's another thing. I was in Gloucester with Prohibition era.
Tell me about that. My mother's got some great stories about that.
Well, I can give you one. My grandmother used to make the wine, and she used to sell it.
My grandfather did, too.
She used to sell it to these people would come to the house and sit around the table, and she'd have a quart of wine on the table, and she used to sell it to make a few bucks. Then the Gloucester police raided the place and took a stock, lock, and barrel away.
Yeah.
They probably drank it all.
They drank it probably.
They probably drank it all. And that I'm not afraid to say.
Don't say that. Don't be afraid to say it.
No, I'm not.
It's not
what happened to all that wine?
Don't worry,
a lot of people did it, though.
My grandfather used to make schnapps in a bathtub. And he'd have his kids deliver it. You know those little red wagons that the kids play?
Yeah.
That carry it down the street in these little brown bags. Deliver it to the people. The cops probably got some themselves.
They got some themselves. And that was the Prohibition era, and that was horrible to see all that wine go out into those police trucks.
Yeah, yeah. Heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking at the time, but I remember that quite well. Then, of course, there was the fishermen didn't get much for their fish. In fact, we had to eat it, because we had to eat heron sometimes. I remember eating heron for days in a row. They couldn't sell it, we couldn't get anything else. There was starvation, but there was no welfare. We were a proud people.
Yeah.
Nobody was on welfare.
They didn't have it, did they? I don't think they had it.
I don't know if they had it or not, but nobody was on welfare. And the women were never allowed to work, even though we had a sewing factory right there. The woman...
This is now Gloucester?
Gloucester. Yeah. This is now in Gloucester, where the cockroaches really swamped us. We found all these houses full of cockroaches.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Okay.
That's the truth. No electricity. The kerosene man would come by with these long, narrow cans full of kerosene hanging on the side.
Mm-hmm.
We'd give him the empties, and we'd buy the full ones to light our lamps. I used to study by kerosene lamp. And I went to school.
Do you remember horses and buggies?
Yes, of course.
How late did they have them until?
Well, they had them quite late, because I remember when the kids, we had these low wagons that would carry these barrels from the fish wharves way up the fort, would carry them down Commercial Street. And these wagons were low, and the kids would jump on them for rides in the back. They were low and long. And the guy would have a whip and try to reach it with his whip to get him off. Never succeeded. Kids would hitch ride because they were low wagons. Oh yes, I remember those horses and wagons. They used to make a lot of noise on those cobblestones. Never forget those. And I remember also the strike that the fishermen had, because they fought among each other. And some of them wanted to strike, some of them didn't want to, and they were starving, they wanted to go fishing. It was mostly Nova Scotians that had the strike. People from up down east. The Italians were not involved in that one. The Italians were involved in the fiasco they had here last winter. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Brother against brother and father against son.
What, right, just last winter?
This past winter. Yeah.
What they had, what was going
on? They were
on?
Fighting because some boats could go fishing and some couldn't. And they were jealous of each other, whoever could go and who couldn't go.
Is there just one main wharf in Gloucester? Is that just the one?
No, there's lots of wharves in Gloucester. My great uncle.
What's the big one? Is that the one right near Captain's Courageous?
No, I wouldn't say so. I would say that the FBI, they call Frontera Brothers Incorporated, call FBI.
Frontera
Brothers Incorporated. I would say that would be the biggest.
Where's
fish
that?
Wharf, down the fort on Commercial Street. And that was bought...
Near Parisi's?
A little further down, yeah. On the other side, on this side, on the left-hand side. That was the foresight of one of my great uncles, bought that wharf. With his brother. His brother had bought the house on the wharf and lived in it.
Are you related to the Fronteras?
Yes.
Oh, Cigar Joe?
Not Cigar Joe. He's a different line of Fronteras.
Oh, okay.
He's a different line of Frontera, not the FBI.
He's doing...
So my great uncle bought that wharf for next to nothing. And he also had a house down the fort, way up on the fort. But he had no children. So the wharf was willed to his favorite nephews. And they made it what it is today. They put a lot of money into it, made it what it is today. And my sister is married to one of those brothers. They put a lot of money into it. It was leased to the Birdseye Corporation for a long time.
Uh-huh.
Then they put a lot of money into it, and they're running a good fish business from it. But it was bought by my great uncle, who had no children, who had these nephews to leave it to. Then, of course, I've got to tell you about the influenza epidemic, which was severe here in Gloucester, which was real bad.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And took the lives of a lot of young people. And they frightened us because the state police, or the, no, it wasn't the state police, it was the...
locals?
No, not the locals, not the state police, it was the National Guard who went around the houses looking for the very sick ones and take them away to these camps. Whoever was taken away never came back. And we were scared to death.
Did they come into the house without...
Actually did, yes.
Without a writ or anything?
They came into the house.
They didn't have...
We didn't know anything about this search and these warrants and things.
They didn't
warrants.
Have a warrant?
No. They just came into the house with their guns and took away whoever they thought was very, very sick and couldn't stay home.
Now, what year was this?
This was in 1917, I think, or 1918. Whenever
are you
they,
familiar? All right, okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And my brother was very, very sick. But we had this lady lived right next door to us. There was two flats on the upper floor down the fort. And she lived next door, and she said, look, she said, don't worry, she says. We'll bring him in my house. We had a door between the two flats. She says, when they come to your door, I'll take him into my house, and they won't get him. My brother was very, very sick, too. And she says, if need be, she says, I'll use my shotgun. Because she wouldn't have got away with that. They went in, she wouldn't have been able to use her shotgun.
But the person involved, did he live? That they wanted to take away? Did he eventually live?
My brother, yes. He had double pneumonia.
And they were going to take him away?
They would have taken him away had they known about him. But they didn't come to the house because they didn't find out about him. But they did take a lot of people away. We weren't allowed to be left any milk on our doorsteps and bottles. We just put our milk pitcher out. If we didn't get that out, we got no milk. And I remember standing in line at Barker's drugstore for these little powders they were giving out. And I believe there was nothing but aspirin powders in them.
They didn't have anything to cure?
No, nothing. They just gave you something to make you feel better, maybe, but a lot of people died.
Now, does influenza have a different name now, or is it...
call it influenza. In those days, they called it, the Italian people called it La Spagnola.
La Spagnola?
La Spagnola. I don't know why, but that's what they called it.
My grandfather had smallpox, which they called, these people called cholera.
Cholera.
You know what it's from? Cholera.
Cholera, but that's not the smallpox.
Yeah, I know, but that's what they call it.
That's what they call it.
My grandfather had cholera.
Well, they all had that back in Italy.
Smallpox.
A lot of people here in Gloucester today had smallpox in Italy.
But now, these words are used differently. The influenza you're talking about is not what we now call smallpox, is it?
No, definitely not.
Okay.
No.
Because names keep changing.
Smallpox was called something different. Guleri? No. Guleri is something different than smallpox.
No, I mean in English. In English, the names keep changing.
In English, yes.
I don't know. Do we call
it... Italian people call that, that flu that was called La Spagnola. I don't know why, but... And it was bad. Because we had no conveniences of heating systems or refrigerators or... Some of us didn't even have toilets or electric lights.
So some conveniences come in handy.
Some of the conveniences usually come in handy. And then there was the war to make it worse.
Yeah,
They came together with the war.
Yeah. We were only in the war for 6 months.
Yeah, and people were dying right and left. Oh, I remember that. I remember when our boys went overseas. When Johnny Comes Marching Home Again, that was one of the songs they had when those boys came home. That was a horrible war.
World War One. Americans didn't really suffer from that one.
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Did you ever hear the poem "In Flanders Field Where the Poppies Grow"?
Yeah, but I was thinking mostly that was maybe European. Europeans were.
No, Flanders Field is where all the Americans died.
Is it?
Yes. And there is a poem.
Yeah, I've heard that.
American blood was spilled so badly on that field that the poppies grew, they claim. Because that's not the truth, but that's what they try to make you believe.
Yeah, and it was an awful war. It was awful. Well, the worst war ever fought, as far as the ground troops are concerned, was the worst war. That, and you know what else? The other one was the Civil War. People don't realize how bad the Civil War was.
Well, see, that was not in our time.
Yeah, but...
Even mine.
No, I know, but historically...
Historically, that must have been bad, because
it was awful for the troops.
Yes, but of course, World War I wasn't very pretty.
World War I was the worst war as far as the troops.
Because it was cold.
It was a trench war.
And the Americans suffered in that from that cold. It was terrifically cold.
We were only in it for 6 months, though. The war lasted 4.5 years in Europe.
Yes,
That's all I'm saying. That's the Kaiser that
started that war. It was people in Austria, Germany, they started that war.
Remember that Serbo-Croatian started it by assassinating Prince Ferdinand?
That's when it was started.
Yeah.
There's some assassination started.
Did you remember that?
No, I don't. But I remember my father always talking about the kings and queens.
You can remember. You're capable of remembering.
Some things, yeah.
Some of the...
I remember living in the North End, and they would be selling all these pictures of the royal family, and we thought it was something great. The royal family was something great. That's why today Italy is still Christian Democrat. Because the family was Christian Democrats, the royal family. That's why today Italy is still Christian Democrats, where the communists are trying to push it out.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
Well, I don't think much of the Communist Party, naturally.
Yeah.
You don't expect me to say that it's a good thing, because it isn't. But I don't know if the Christian Democrats are any good either.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, they're all rascals.
Rascals, poverty, it's just about as bad as the rip-offs here with the politicians here in this country.
Yeah. You think all politicians are pretty much the same?
I think all politicians are rip-offs.
That's what most people think. If I may stray from the subject.
Well, if you just listen to the news, there's one disgrace after another.
Did you hear about Proposition 13 in California?
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, in a way, it's good, but it's gonna benefit too many landlords.
Yeah.
It's gonna benefit the landlords that what you call these landlords who are trying to make money off the people. They're gonna get the benefit of this, not as much as these single family owners. It's gonna benefit a lot of landlords. I can see that.
Yeah.
But I think the country could get by with much less property tax, because they are wasting a lot of this property
tax.
They're
out of control.
So getting out of control, and somebody should start doing something. And I'm glad somebody did do something about it. Not for myself, but for my generations to come.
Yeah, well, in California, it might come all the way back to the East Coast now, because
I hope it does.
It's a taxpayers' revolt now.
I hope it does.
Yeah.
I hope it does. Not for myself. I couldn't care less. But there's my son there. He's got a little house. Boy, he has to go kill himself to work to pay these taxes, and they're being wasted by these politicians.
That's what I mean. I mean, about...
There's too many people on the political rolls, or political payrolls. Let's put it that way.
Political payroll?
Yes, political payrolls. These politicians hire their like... Judge Bolden now.
Yeah.
Right. He told his, he hired somebody, and now he told this half-hour man not to say a certain thing because, and this man was hired by him, so naturally.
Yeah.
He has to go along with what the Judge Bolden wants him to say.
Uh-huh. Exactly. It's incredible.
Then I went on to school here, and the Legion at the time, the Legion building at the time was a FOB school. And my father got a bump in the head from working on his little boat.